一二三 ，microphone testing one two three， in the place to be。What's up, everybody? My name is Tai Mai Xiu, and I am going to rapping for you today, just a little freestyle.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
VIG.
I am driving home right now, and I have the fear. I'm hitting every goddamn red light on the way home. My butthole is so clenched.
Now, I don't have any Latin blood in me, but could I ever be the star of my own telenovela, not being Latin?
Because if you can't control me, then you can't control him. You can't control him. Then you can't control him. And then the information age starts.
And now.
We'll probably sit around and...cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
Our feature presentation.
Who's the fat and sassy girl again?
Where was it, Allie?
I think it was North or South Carolina, talking about the ice storms that were coming through.
How's she going to deal with it?
Oh.
I think she was looking forward to it.
She was living for it.
Make me housebound, she said.
Come on, snow and ice. I need to eat.
Fat and sassy is not a bad way to go through life, you guys.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 24th of January.
Nope.
25th, right?
Yeah.
It's Thursday morning, the 25th of January.
Okay.
You got the Thursday right.
Hold on. Let me just scratch this out. Okay.
First thing I heard this morning when I turned on the radio was a series of interviews with people describing the earthquake.
Was there one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
3 o'clock this morning. It was a four.
Okay.
And at what point is it not news, by the way? If there's no damage and no injury, how much time does it needs to be spent on it on the radio or on television?
I don't know. I think it's a weird situation because a lot of people in Southern California are sort of in the back of their mind. They have that fear that the big one's coming. So they really kind of want to know about all the little stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, a four is sizable, but when it's so deep and it doesn't bear – I mean, people felt it. But I don't even think anything fell off a shelf. I mean, it was one of those. You know what I mean? This one guy was like, well, my cat ran out of the room. I haven't seen her.
Back to you.
So I'd like to thank the earthquake for that. Hated that cat.
No, I don't think that was it. I think that was how dramatic that earthquake was, is the cat got up and left the room, and he had not found her yet.
I will say this. We don't need to hear from those people for an earthquake like that.
No.
For several minutes,
Or do we?
I think that's what I'm saying is at this point, I think we don't.
And I'm saying, or do we?
I'm just wondering... Allie, you were news for a long time.
Yeah.
Earthquakes like car chases, do they just, it just wins? Like people can't get enough of it?
People immediately turn on the news. They go to Twitter. They go to wherever to find information. And I'm telling you, people will sit through that one guy talking about, I was more of a jolt than a roll. And the anchors will ask 15 more questions. We got it. But people are watching. People tune in for that. So they'll always do it.
Yeah. I love it.
And is it partly just I want to confirm what I thought I felt? I want to hear from other people that it was real?
Yeah.
Or is it that, okay, I felt that, but I now need to know if it was much, much worse somewhere else?
And that's the first thing is you don't know how bad it was somewhere else.
Yeah. And they always love going to different areas. Like, oh, you felt it all the way out there?
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. We've got team coverage.
Well, if we get an update on that dude's cat, I'll be sure to let you know. If she comes back into the bedroom, then maybe we'll hear about it. Maybe they'll break in and let us know that all's well. So we're fine, folks.
Everything's good.
Where was it? I didn't feel it at all.
I'm not even going to get into that. Now, the point is no one cares and no one should care.
But was it sharp?
Yeah. Was it like rolling or...
It was more of a... Hey, let me read this this Instagram post. Excuse me, a Reddit post real quick, if you don't mind. And just confirm my suspicion that this is too good to be true, that this did not happen the way she describes it, okay?
All right.
Everyone is familiar with... Excuse me. The term ghosting, right? Everyone knows what ghosting is.
Yes.
When you just cut off contact with someone with no explanation.
Yes. That's what Bean's going to do when he wins the lottery.
Exactly.
He's going to ghost the world.
Right.
Yeah.
I ghosted my boyfriend of 5 years is the headline on this Reddit post. I came over to his house one morning to surprise him with breakfast and a video game that he wanted, only to find him naked, asleep, and with his ex curled up in his arms.
Oh.
Now, is there any scenario, Allie, you know the ladies, is there any scenario you can think of that she is not dragging that bitch out of that bed by her hair and screaming at her boyfriend? Could someone could a person walk away from that and say and do nothing?
That's a bigger person than I could ever be.
I imagine that person exists. Sure,
sure. But that relationship was over, and they were like, "Oh, thank God, I am out now."
Yeah.
Now, maybe it was just she looked at it as good news. All right, so he's naked, asleep, with his ex curled up in his arms. He did not hear me come in, so I closed the bedroom door, and I left his breakfast and game on the kitchen counter along with my key to his house.
Oh.
I went to my car, deactivated my Facebook, and blocked him on all other forms of social media. All right, so far it's believable to me.
Okay.
I then called my phone provider to change my number before driving off.
No.
Would somebody do that?
No.
Who gives up a phone number these days when everyone you know has it and you've probably had it for a long time?
Yeah, and this just in, you block his number. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. I texted family members and close friends that we were no longer together and asked them to block him on social media as well. I didn't tell them why. Seems too good to be true to me.
Yeah.
And here's the capper. I was in a position to end the lease on my apartment early, and I started a new job in a different city later that week.
This is all falling into place, right?
Come on.
I mean, is she taking a month's worth of time and putting it into one story for a week?
Yeah, this is
maybe.
Insane.
I completely removed myself from him. I did not offer a shred of explanation or opportunity for dialogue. I disappeared from his life after his betrayal, and I think it'll not only help me focus on myself without his presence, but I think completely shutting myself off from him will hurt worse than anything when he thinks on how good he had it with me these last 5 years. So, we're ruling BS?
BS,
story?
And she didn't
BS, yeah.
really ghost him. If she left the key and all that stuff, he obviously knows she was there.
Yeah, true.
So
if you're
ghosting, you'd be
you
like, what happened?
Idea.
I don't understand.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking with the key. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
ghosted Jason.
All right, so we don't like it at all.
No, I think it's an exaggeration at best.
Okay.
An exaggeration.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
Excuse me.
Thanks, Mugs.
Autopilot cars are the best.
Are the worst.
Am I right?
No one needs it.
Oh, worst. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Right. Dr. Drew's on the program today like we do on Thursdays. We also talk sports with Jim Rome on Thursdays. We have one of our favorite comedians of all time, Jeff Garlin. He's the
best. Love Jeff.
He's the best. He's going to be in studio in the 7 o'clock hour. Very excited about that. And we've
got a Goldberg show, by the way. I don't know how often you get a chance to watch that. Solid every week.
Yeah, consistent.
It is.
Yeah.
Really funny. And what a great cast. And his whole job is sitting in that recliner, man.
Yeah.
That's the best acting job on television.
And I watched one episode yesterday where he said like three words. He's barely in it.
I think he's mostly reading the paper.
So we're going to talk to him in the 7 o'clock hour. We've also got your tickets for Incubus at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. We'll take a break and come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
You guys are making me sad. I didn't see the X-Files last night.
Oh, so good.
Sounds like it was amazing.
It was really good.
We had Dave Duchovny on the program right near the end yesterday, and it was a fun interview that I think people listening now will want to enjoy.
Agreed.
So we'll do that for you coming up right after 6 a.m. We always love catching up with Dave. First, though, Thursday morning, 5:51. Allie, what's happening?
I feel like this is how you make an announcement that you're retiring from touring.
Okay.
This is what Elton John did yesterday. He said, you know what? I'm done with touring. After I do a 3-year, 300-gig farewell.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal.
Will he live that long?
Well, he says he's healthy. This is the time to do it. But when reports first came out that he was retiring, the first reports were, he's ill. He's not going to do it. He's like, I'm doing 3 years and 300 gigs.
I'm fine.
I think I'm fine. But it's called the Farewell Yellow Brick Road Tour, and it begins September 8th in Allentown, Pennsylvania, wraps up back in the U.S. sometime in 2021.
Wow.
Yeah. He said he made this. Yeah.
Is he trying to kill himself on tour?
A little bit. He said he made this decision 2 years ago, mostly because of his kids. By the time the tour finishes, he's 74 years old, and his kids will be 10 and 8. And those are the ages you want to be a spry 74. I have said that for years.
He's going to retire for a week and go right back out.
He's going to be like, F these two. My God.
I know that he loves touring. He's always had a very busy, heavy tour schedule his entire career, 60 years or whatever it's been. But can you imagine wanting to go out for 3 years on the road at his age and sing those songs again?
Yeah,
I can't. And he doesn't need the money.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
He must really love it.
Yeah. To commit to 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, why not say a year and we'll see how we feel? But he's committed 3 years, 300 gigs. That's a lot, you guys. I couldn't do it.
Really?
I could not.
You're saying it's a lot?
I am saying it's a lot.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
You could sing the songs. It's just the touring part that would be difficult.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Elton John song?
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road is wonderful. But
I'm not familiar. How does that go?
I'd have to say Daniel, though, is my favorite because that's my father's name, and it's a special song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little of that.
He says, Daniel, my brother, you are older than me, or something like that.
That is a great song.
Do you still feel the same?
Yep. Yeah, we're still.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg has found Jesus.
What?
Hallelujah. His new album, The Bible of Love, is all gospel music.
Jesus.
Snoop Dogg has a gospel album.
What? Now, he did reggae, right?
Yeah, Snoop Lion.
Snoop Lion,
yeah.
Right?
There's no name change for this yet. No release date yet, but Snoop will do a few tunes from it at the official Super Bowl gospel celebration on February 1st. Who knew there was a Super Bowl gospel celebration?
Is he going to change his name to Snoop God?
I don't know. I feel like...
I mean, really?
If he found Jesus, who would he be? Snoop? I think Snoop God is too much. That's a little blasphemous. Let's really wrap our heads around this. Okay. What would his name be? Snoop Believer?
I don't know.
Snoop, I'd like to come in and talk to you about Jesus.
Yes,
I mean,
good.
It's long, but I think it says what he
seems unwieldy, but
about. Did you guys see that Murphy Brown was trending yesterday on Twitter?
No.
Do you remember that show?
No.
I
remember that it existed, but I don't know what it was.
It was Candace Bergen, and it ran for 10 years, from 88 to 98. And she was, correct me if I'm wrong, but she was like a journalist. She was an anchor woman.
I have the exact same memory of that show that Kevin does, which is that I can confirm that it existed. I know nothing else, but yes, I believe it was a newsroom show. I believe that she was either a print or a broadcast journalist, and the show was about the people who worked there.
Yeah, well, it's coming back for a series this fall on CBS, because... there's no new ideas.
Because Will and Grace came back, and Roseanne came back, or is coming back.
Yeah.
Now X-Files came back. I mean, this is where we're at.
Yeah. I did see a funny tweet, though. A guy said, this is not what we meant by more brown people on television. But Murphy Brown, maybe it was a huge hit, and none of us watched it. Missed it, but who knows? And if
it doesn't seem like there was a huge... demand, a huge groundswell of people, you know, picketing in front of the TV station to bring it back.
Speaking of which, where are you guys on Roseanne? Because that does not interest me in the least.
No. I am looking forward to it.
You are? Here.
And I never saw one episode of the original.
What? Then what interests you?
I've never seen the show.
John Goodman, I guarantee.
No, I like the... look.
Because he's great.
He is great. Yeah. I like the idea of what they're trying to do, which is... A family that we don't see on television very often. And the kinds of frank conversation that you don't see that are based in reality. And that's uncommon on television. I'll give it a shot. It may not be good, but I'll at least check it out.
She annoys me.
Does she?
Roseanne does? Oh, completely understandably. She's an annoying person.
Yeah.
He never saw a single episode, but he's
not
interested.
A single one.
Huh.
I mean, just the fact that they're doing a pro-Trump show is interesting enough to me to tune in. You know,
I didn't know that about it.
a family.
Oh,
well,
yeah, she's very pro-Trump.
Oh, okay. In real life, she's way in too, and her character will reflect that. And I, you know, look, it's possible 4 minutes in, I'll go, I get enough of this on cable news. I don't need to see these kinds of conversations again. But at least they're trying something different, you know? Yeah. And I'm interested to see where it goes.
Well, then you can switch over to Murphy Brown and see how they're doing the news. Maybe if they're doing fake news.
There you go.
It all ties in together, right?
And you can be our correspondent. No?
I don't know. Hey, you guys, Lindsay Lohan has purged her Instagram account once again. I'm really sorry to report this. She posted a video just saying bye-bye and added a filter that looks like she's underwater, okay, and then deleted every single post. But she might be back, you guys. She did this in January to mark a period of renewal in her life.
Ah.
So I will stay on top of that story.
Thank you. We're very interested.
And I will keep on Lohan watch. Don't you worry.
All right.
Ton of birthdays today. Singer Alicia Keys. And that's what's happening.
Comedian actor Jeff Garlin on the program next hour. Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit. Jim Rome on sports. And more tickets for you to see Incubus in Las Vegas on the K-Rock Incubus. It's all coming up on K-Rock.
Allie, what happened with your Postmates, dude?
I have a lot of different Postmates, obviously. I get a lot of food delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much of a cook. So the other day, it was last week, and I wound up tweeting about it because it was bizarre. Usually they hand you the food, thanks, okay, you're on your way.
Right.
As he's handing me the food, he kind of pauses and he goes, really, enjoy that. I'm like, thanks. And I take the bag and I'm thinking, that's it. Skedaddle.
That was a little too much already.
That was too much already. And then he goes, yeah, and remember, take some me time. I mean, it's so important. And I thought, what the F? And I go, yeah, it is. Cool. And he just stood there and smiled at me. I'm like, all right, bye. See you later.
Was he waiting for a tip?
Well, no, you do that on the app. So I was like, okay, bye. And then I went upstairs and I was like, that was weird. So I tweeted, my Postmate just told me to enjoy my food and remember to take some me time because it is so important. And now he's my life coach and these meatballs taste like a new beginning. Because literally I'm eating the meatballs and I'm like, I should take more me time. He's probably right.
He was right.
But it was just bizarre. Like, what? Does he do it to everyone?
That's what I was just wondering. Is he a guy who hands out his fortune cookie wisdom wherever he goes?
Right.
Or did he see a hunger in you
for some
spirituality and some guidance?
Well, people mentioned yesterday when we were talking about this, they were like, people really do say weird things to you. And I said,
to you specifically.
Me specifically. Yeah. And I think I just have maybe like an openness that people think they can say weird crap to.
Because they don't know you.
Because they don't know me.
And then, how little you care about what they say or think.
Well, mostly, yeah. But it was bizarre. But strangely comforting, not going to lie.
So you like the advice that you got from your Postmates life coach?
Upon reflection, yes. In the moment, let me eat my meatballs, dude. I'm busy.
Now, can you request that same Postmates delivery man again, or is it random who shows up at your door with the food?
It's complete.
Oh,
completely,
what's this?
Random. What was that?
Doorbell?
Hey. Hi.
Oh, my God.
I actually figured out where you work. How are the meatballs?
Oh, no.
Really good.
Concerning.
This is odd.
Yeah. Did you take that me time?
I did. I actually wound up taking a bath and just really relaxing.
Namaste.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you bring food? Or
I
what?
Did.
Okay.
Here's your breakfast burrito, Allie. And I hope you enjoy it.
Oh. Thank you so much.
Okay. And remember, it's not the number of breaths we take, but the moments that take our breath away.
Again,
sir,
thank
we
you.
We don't need this from you. You're very nice. We don't need this for you. But if you could just leave the food and head out.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Now, can you request
weird.
A different Postmates card?
I mean, I wonder if I can, like, block, because he found me at work.
Right? That's odd.
And you didn't order a... Oh, no.
Allie.
Again?
Okay.
Allie.
I thought you left.
First off, here's some silverware.
Oh.
Secondly,
okay.
You have to look through the rain to see the rainbow. Keep that in mind.
I certainly will. This is getting odd.
Namaste. Okay.
Namaste to you.
Thanks for coming.
Bye-bye now. Right.
See ya.
Okay. Wow, twice he shows up.
Okay.
I mean, he seems like a nice guy. The fact that he tracked you down to work, though, is concerning to me, but he only seems to have your best interest at
Oh, no. Chip.
There we go.
Chip.
Oh, Okay.
Chip, here you are. Hi.
Oh, you ordered food, Chip?
Oh, yeah. Did you want anything?
No.
Okay.
Here's your Egg McMuffin hash browns.
Oh, thanks,
and a small coffee. And remember, Chip, never trust a big butt and a smile. That girl is poison.
I mean, that is good advice.
That is good advice, actually.
That one's good.
That's true.
Kevin.
Oh. What?
Yesterday.
You never left.
Why did
you
ring the doorbell?
You were still in the room.
Yesterday's history.
At least give the doorbell time.
Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift.
I'm missing
That's
all of
why
this
we call
knowledge.
It
I'm missing this knowledge.
I'm missing all the knowledge.
Hold on. Kevin needs to hear that again, sir, if you wouldn't mind.
You want me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
Sure. Namaste. I said yesterday is history.
Right.
Tomorrow, a mystery.
Okay.
Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Hello.
Oh, no.
Chip, I'm back.
Where are you guys on the autopilot, self-driving cars?
Don't
need it. Don't understand it. Don't want it.
Worst.
Here's my question. My question is it going to help with the people who don't pay any attention when they're driving? And there are a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about driving, particularly in Southern California. You make 500 minimal adjustments in the course of a commute, right? Where you have to be paying attention and seeing what everybody else is doing and adjusting along the way.
Right.
There's no way a computer can do that. I'm telling you right now, there's no way.
Absolutely. Now, Bean's totally right.
If they had dedicated lanes that were just like a train where a bunch of people jump into
a
car and they're on a track and nobody has to pay attention to anything and they want to zip it as fast as possible, that's fine. But not out in the wild with the rest of us trying to drive.
If it was like an Uber rideshare on roids, like Bean's describing,
mm-hmm.
that makes total sense. The idea that amongst us in the wild there would be robot cars is insanity. Well, it's insanity.
What could go wrong? I present for you this newscast.
A sleek, black, sporty Tesla totaled, smashed underneath the back of a big red fire engine on the 405 freeway. The CHP says the driver survived and claimed he was using the autopilot feature when he crashed into a Culver City fire engine.
A fire truck, you mm-hmm. guys, and this is our local fire station. We saw this as soon as they tweeted it yesterday because these are our boys right down the street from us. If you can't miss something as big as a fire truck, your product is not working, right?
Now, near the end of this report, you'll see how it missed it, how it couldn't see the fire truck.
Okay,
well,
what's wrong with
now.
The autopilot?
Right.
That was stopped on the freeway helping another driver.
It looks to me, at first impression, if autopilot was engaged, a serious problem with a robot mechanism that Tesla has not fixed.
Jamie Court with Consumer Watchdog has been concerned about Tesla's autopilot feature following fatalities in China and Florida, where drivers crashed and died using autopilot.
Which is that they can miss trucks that are in a color scheme that matches the background of the scene they're in.
Whoa.
Right?
So if the color of the car is the same as the background color, the autopilot doesn't see it.
Come on.
Seems like a flaw.
A big flaw.
And then, this is a fire truck. What was the fire truck driving through that was so red that it would have blended in like that?
Fire? Nothing.
Okay, here's the rest of it.
And the radar shoots under the truck.
So the radar shoots too low, so it misses on that count.
Right. Okay, let me play devil's advocate here, Michael, because you seem very passionate about this. And let me ask you this. This is an example of something that I imagine the autopilot car will look at and they will go, oh, I see where we screwed up this time. Let's adjust it. Let's make some changes to the next version and this won't happen again. Any possibility that that might work?
I'm sure they can refine it. Obviously, Tesla's at the forefront of technology when it comes to transportation. But for instance, okay, what if a police car, ambulance, or fire truck is coming? Does a computer with just a purely linear mathematic brain, does it really understand, I got to figure out what lane to pull over to the right, mm-hmm. and I just got to fit my way in somehow so that I can make room for this person that's going to an emergency? It doesn't get it. It doesn't hear sirens. And if it does, it registers it as some type of zeros and ones. It's Bean pointed out that there's so many small little detail nuances that are human, like the human mind figures out.
Quickly.
Traffic. I mean, it's going to use like some type of Waze type of
software to get you blood. It doesn't understand that, yeah, at this time of day, maybe it looks on paper to be better to take Fairfax, but that's a terrible idea in the middle of the afternoon because I know it goes down to one lane. There's just so much stuff that comes into being a human, and it's all it's going to do is going to gunk up our traffic even more. I live in Venice. There's a Google South kind of campus in Venice, and they have this Google car.
Right.
I watched with my own eyes. I watched it just drive with no, like, not stopping. It just ran into a wall.
No.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys like named Pishtar standing around. I'm like, okay, you guys ready?
Was a crash test dummy behind the wheel?
No, it was just nothing. It was just a robot car.
Was it the band Crash Test Dummies?
It was. Okay. Brad Roberts was there. Why do I know that guy's name?
I'm not sure. Here's the end of the report, and I think what you're missing, Mike, is that you're not supposed to just let the computer do it. It's a combination. That's what they're missing.
Over the weekend in the Bay Area, the CHP says this driver told officers he was using the autopilot feature after he was found drunk, passed out behind the wheel.
Okay, so maybe that's not the way to do it.
The CHP joked in a tweet the car was towed, didn't drive itself to tow yard.
I think autopilot, the name itself, was some people were criticizing because it maybe suggested more than what it was really capable of.
Tesla sent us the same statement regarding both recent incidents, saying autopilot is intended for use only with a fully attentive driver.
So you use the autopilot, but you're also paying 100% attention.
Right.
That's so important.
So maybe just drive is the thing. Hey, I think Bob wants to weigh in on this. He's on line one from Woodland Hills. And maybe Bob can tell us what we're missing about why there are so many people working so hard to make these autopilot cars a reality. Like, what's the great advantage that I don't see in these? Because I think they're a terrible idea from word go. Hey, Bob.
Hey, well, listen, because, you know, humans still make plenty of dumb mistakes, including distracted driving that autopilots won't do.
Right.
And, you know, we get in accidents all day, every day. They're not going to have autopilot cars, won't be distracted, they won't be eating, won't put on makeup.
But we don't, Bob. We don't get in accidents all day, every day. If you really think about it,
millions of cars.
Just Los Angeles alone, millions of cars driving all day, every day. It's like, you know, you see one accident on the side of the freeway pretty much every community. We don't crash all day, every day.
But when was the last time you heard about an autopilot accident?
Just what, like 35 seconds ago.
But what Bob's saying is it's not like there are 20 of them a day. It's not like this is an epidemic.
Because only 1% of the population has the money to get an autopilot ready car.
Yet, really.
But you can also argue, look at how often does, say, a computer make an error in calculating compared to how often do humans make errors in calculating?
No, you're right. There's no question that computers are really good at a lot of things. They're not really good at a real-life situation involving traffic, though. That's what I'm saying. And I'm also going to throw out this that I think is going to be a product killer, which is who's responsible when that autopilot car gets into an accident and kills someone? The driver can go, I didn't have anything to do with it. I was just a passenger. Is everybody suing Tesla now because their autopilot car ran somebody down? I don't even know how they're going to work that out.
What's the insurance?
Do you know the answer to that, Bob?
It's still going to have to be the owner, because the owner still has to pay attention. Just because it's on autopilot doesn't mean they can walk away. Pilots flying a plane still have to have somebody in the cockpit, like a co-pilot or a pilot.
But wait a minute. I heard that a lot of these autopilot cars literally don't even have a steering wheel. You can't override them.
Well, that there may be, but I think they're going to have to ultimately make the owner responsible.
I mean, I don't think there's any other option.
Yeah.
Would you want that, Kevin? Would you want to be responsible for what your computer does out on the road?
No, I would just drive.
If I was personally responsible for the functioning of my MacBook, I'd be in jail. You know?
That's a great point.
What would you trust more, Kevin or an autopilot?
How dare you?
Well, when you put it that way. Bob, that's a great point.
Come on. All right. You've convinced us. We're now Team Autopilot.
Son
thanks,
of a
Bob.
Bitch. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
By the way, speaking of Nirvana, there's a video out. You got to see this. We'll post it. We'll put it up on the Kevin and Bean social media. Dave Grohl just did a video for Seattle Tourism, And it's very funny and fascinating to see him tell the story about how he got the job drumming for Nirvana and flew after Scream broke up in L.A. He flies up to Seattle, and Kurt and Chris from Nirvana pick him up at the airport.
That's so weird.
And Dave says they looked like they were right out of Children of the Corn. He's like, what am I getting myself into with these guys? But the rest is history. It's a very cool video. Look. Dave, every story Dave tells is the best story you've ever heard.
Yeah, it's a little annoying.
What a life he's had. He's so fun. He's so funny. Anyway, you should definitely check it out. We'll post it. You want to see that. The great Jeff Garland, comedian, actor, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show as well. And we'll talk sports with Jim Rome. First, though, 6:53 on a Thursday morning. Allie, what's happening?
Remember yesterday when we talked about 50 Cent being an early adopter of Bitcoin?
Yes.
He had people buy his album, Animal Ambition, using Bitcoin. And back then, it was only worth $662. Now, in total, he pulled over 400 grand on that sale alone.
Right.
And then he sat on it. Was like, nope, not going to touch it. And then we found out yesterday, sitting untouched, his earnings are now worth $7 to $8.5 million.
Wow.
Right? And we were talking about that business mind and how amazing he has done throughout his life with different career choices, different paths he's taken.
He's got water from, and a whole bunch of
water. He's got TV shows. He's got everything.
Yeah, what most people are lucky to make a fortune in one industry. He makes it in everything he touches.
Right. So he confirmed the new windfall on Instagram yesterday saying, quote, not bad for a kid from the South Side. I'm so proud of me. but this is the part that made me laugh so hard. His next quote, I'm going to keep it real. I forgot I did that beep. LOL. He hadn't touched his account. He had no idea he still had it.
He Forrest Gumped his way into $8 million.
Sure did.
That's awesome.
That's
but he's
magic.
So rich that he can have $8 million extra dollars lying around that he doesn't know about.
What's
and
that?
It doesn't matter to him.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah, Bitcoin. Oh, I have $8
million? Oh,
okay.
Sure. Let me try and remember my password. Logs in. That's unreal to me.
That's fantastic.
But,
I mean,
but this is very similar to the money that I put down on Twitter when it went public and I put it in my E-Trade account and I just sit there and just let it just build. Like, just turn into a mountain of gold.
Well, what did you buy it at? What was the price?
I think I got it for around 40. I think it was 40, a little over 40 maybe.
And now that you've sat on it and it's
I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure it's in the hundreds by now.
Right.
And I'm sure I'm a multimillionaire many times over. Mm-hmm. Just to bring it up.
Just look that up and see, because if you're worth that much.
Oh, it's at $22.51 right now.
Oh, so kind of the opposite.
So you've lost half of your money.
I guess I'm no 50 cent.
Okay. Oh.
I'm not even 25 cents.
Oh, that's sad. I'm going to keep it real. That is funny.
That is very funny.
Oh, that brought me so much joy when I read that. Hey, if you're going to see Jack White on his new tour, don't even think about grabbing some video. Don't even think about shooting a little selfie while he's up on stage, because your phone's going to be locked.
I was going to hold my phone up in front of my face, though, so the people behind me couldn't see Jack on the stage.
I hope you would not only hold a phone, but maybe an iPad.
Sure.
You've seen those people?
Yeah. Oh,
good
yeah.
Lord. Well, no photos, video, or audio recordings allowed. Quote,
I feel like this is the direction
it's
everyone
the thing.
Seems to be going.
Yeah.
If the venue is small enough, I think artists will prefer to be able to look out in the crowd and see eyes rather than phones.
Yeah. The statement says, we think you'll enjoy looking up from your gadgets for a little while and experience music and our shared love of it in person. All caps. So, yeah, they want you to put down those phones and enjoy the moment. Now, your phone is going to be locked away in one of those yonder pouches. And people were like, oh, my God, that's not fair. I can't have access to my phone. All you have to do is walk out into the lobby or concourse, and they have a little station set up.
Mm-hmm.
You unlock it right there. If you have to check in with your babysitter, if you're a doctor on call, which you shouldn't probably be on call without access to your phone.
Right.
But
drug
you can
dealer.
A drug dealer.
Uh-huh.
Great point.
Right.
You can unlock your phone and check it right there.
How will I get access to grainy, terrible-sounding audio and video of the show to post on my social media, though?
Yeah, I don't think you will. It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
Why even go?
Why go, then?
Why even go if you can't rewatch that over and over?
Never. In terrible quality.
The worst, right? Well, fans of Big Little Lies got an extremely good announcement yesterday. Meryl Streep is joining the second season of Big Little Lies. She's going to play the mother of the very abusive Perry Wright, who was played by Alexander Skarsgård. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it or read the book, he dies.
Mm.
So she comes back to the town and wants to kind of look over the grandchildren. And I can imagine, just because Alexander Skarsgård's character was such a evil, manipulative dick.
He was wound pretty tight.
Where did he get that from?
That she is going to be incredible. sources say that season two has been greenlit for 7 episodes. So it's a whole lot of Mel.
Mel? I heard Meryl Streep's overrated.
My color, Mel.
What, Bean? I heard Meryl Streep is overrated as an actress. That's what I heard.
Our president did say that.
He did say that. She's been nominated for 21 Oscars, you guys.
Overrated. It's ridiculous.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
We have heard that. We have heard that. Hey, Charles Manson, he died back in November, but his remains still causing havoc in the courts because 3 different people are trying to claim his body.
Why?
One says he has his will. Okay. Another claims to be his son. And another swears he's his grandson. But Charles Manson had told prison officials that he has no family, so a judge is going to have to make the final ruling. But what do you want his body?
Yeah, I don't know why he would do that.
Oof.
That's weird.
Right?
I mean, I don't see how you would make money off of it.
Unless... Never mind.
If that's what they're trying to do.
Unless.
Like you got him cremated and sold like the ashes in like a necklace or something.
Oh.
That's why I didn't say it, because that's so weird. And who would want to do that? Who would even think of that?
Unfortunately, I believe there are people that would do that.
I think Allie is one of them.
Yeah.
Why was that my first thought?
Allie's the leader of those people.
Wow.
Good Lord. Hey, happy birthday, Alicia Keys. And that's what's happening.
And more chances for you to win coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day on K-Rock to go to Incubus at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas on the bus. We're talking about round trip transportation, one night stay at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and to see the great guys in Incubus do their show March 30th. Your chance to win coming up on K-Rock.
Did you see the Taco Bell that burned down?
No.
Did you see the candlelight vigil for the Taco Bell that burned down?
Oh, people died there?
No. No, no. No, they were just sad about the Taco Bell restaurant.
No.
Look, if the Taco Bell near you, Kevin, burned down, you probably would be driven to bed. I don't see how you could get up and face the world every day if your Taco Bell were gone.
I mean, I do go there a lot.
Yeah. Right?
So if there was a candlelight vigil, I feel like I would go there. This one was in Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the news. And you know the news loves the puns. And man, do they bring it for this story. The guy, the host in the studio throws it out to the reporter in the field. And then she does an entire story on what's going to be later that night, a candlelight vigil for a fast food restaurant. The audio at the beginning is a little jumpy, but it'll fix itself.
It is not often or ever that we report on a candlelight vigil for a fast food location. But that is exactly what's happening tonight in Montgomery at the site of a torched Taco Bell. We told you about that location burning down last week. And tonight, some locals are grieving the loss of their favorite food outlet. And that is where we find WSFA 12 News reporter Samantha Day. And Sam, this is a milestone in your young career. You're the first reporter to ever do a live shot at a candlelight vigil for a fast food place.
John, let's talk.
Can we stop one thing?
Does this reporter... he hate himself, or is he enjoying this story, Allie?
He seems to be enjoying himself.
They're not on a murder. They're not on a molestation. This is good news for
this reporter. When you're doing the news, you like those light moments.
If you have any sort of personality, yes. If you're a serious news person, no.
That's what I was wondering about this guy. Is this guy, he woke up that morning thinking, one of these days I'm going to win that Edward R. Murrow Award, and now he realizes he's talking about a candlelight vigil for a Taco Bell. I wonder if he's like self-loathing right now as he's forced to cover this.
So then he tosses it to the reporter in the field, and man, does she start strong with the pun game.
John, let's taco about what's going on.
Oh, no.
I will allow it.
Let's taco about what's going on.
John, let's taco about what's going on.
Come on. Yes, please.
Come on. Stop it.
All in.
Stop it. So part of the news now cuts out and you can't hear it, so I'm just going to recap. So she talks to a woman who saw that the...
She talks to a woman, Kevin,
the Taco Bell burned down and who put on Facebook that they're going to have a candlelight vigil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a complete joke and people started responding. So now she's talking to this woman, Katie, who put this up on her Facebook page.
It was a complete joke. It was. I came home. My roommate told me the Taco Bell had burned down. And he said it would be funny if we made a memorial page. And I was like, okay. Or if we did something. And he moved on about his life. And I decided to make the event. And I still told him, you know, this is just a joke. It's not that big of a deal. Well, we invited people. We invited Alec, the man who is standing in front of Taco Bell, like, no. And as soon as he shared it, I feel like it just took off.
Did you expect it to take off like this?
Great hard-hitting question. Could you have ever in your wildest dreams like expected this to go so well?
When you said it was a joke four times at the beginning of this?
No, I had no idea it would take off. But I was on top of the notification, so as soon as somebody would share it.
Now, this I love. She's actually actively now soaking the fire.
Sure.
Somebody responds, she's like, all right, let's do it.
I would comment below and say, bring your own candle. And I guess people took it seriously. So,
Kevin, tell me, what?
It's very insensitive for you to use the phrase stoking the fire. We're talking about a Taco Bell that burned down, all right?
Couple of regards
for the victims.
So tell me, what exactly is going on tonight?
I have no idea.
All right, that's my favorite part. Tell me what's happening tonight. You know what? Got no idea.
She didn't organize it.
I was goofing around on Facebook, and so we'll see.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
I have no idea. All I know is we weren't allowed over there because it's a fire and crime scene. They said move it to the ABC store parking lot. I said, okay. So as far as I know, people are just going to come out, light their candles. A couple people are dressing their children up.
What?
Did you hear that part?
What?
A couple people are dressing their children up as what? As burritos?
Yes, burritos? As a little taco? Right. Sure.
A couple people are dressing their children up as a taco and a mild sauce packet.
Oh my God, I love Montgomery.
What a little kid. Why do I have to be the mild sauce? I hate mild sauce. Can I be the hot sauce?
And that's all I know that's going to happen. Oh, we are having a live performance, though, at 7:30.
No.
Of what?
Right?
Like a band?
A live performance. Or do they mean like a ceremony? Is somebody going to say a few words?
I don't know because the reporter does not have any follow-up questions about the live performance. Here it is. Here's her saying it again.
Oh, we are having a live performance, though, at 7:30. So.
All right. Great. Thanks so much, Katie.
No problem.
So you heard her. If you are coming to the event tonight at 7, it is BYOC, Bring Your Own Candle. John, I will be at this event. I've been to this Taco Bell numerous times, and nothing beats their cheesy gordita crunch.
I do love her because she's all in.
She is.
She's just like, what? This is going to be fun. I'm going to come back tonight, even though I don't have to.
She didn't need to tell us what the performance is because she's going to be there. She's like, I'm here anyway. It doesn't matter.
Did they go back to her later in the night? Can we ever find out what happened?
I don't know. This is
the ceremony.
This is the only report that we have.
Oh,
and by the way,
so
I don't know much about the news in Montgomery, but not even a mention as to what the police are thinking burned down this Taco Bell.
Yeah, I don't think they care.
The lady who was being interviewed mentioned that it was a potential crime scene, but what happened to the Taco Bell?
I don't think they care.
Seems like news.
Well, Sam, you just got to live moss, I guess. Hang in there. We will check back with you.
So that guy's there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's better than Jeff Garland?
No one.
Green Day. Green Day, as a collective group of individuals, they top me as an individual.
What individual is better? Who's better than Jeff Garland?
Don't know any.
Right?
Don't know any either.
Do you play Spoon?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
occasionally,
I love that band. Yeah, I love that band, too. And their new album, their last album is so great. So
I agree.
They're
fantastic. They played our Acoustic Christmas a couple of years ago,
okay,
too.
Okay, yeah, they're an excellent band. Yeah.
So speaking of music, Mr. Jeff Garland, comedian and actor and writer and director.
Yes.
Kevin, the kids were having a conversation in the other room, in the green room, before Mr. Garland came in.
Yes.
Who is Jeff Garland's favorite band of all time?
Oh, there you go.
Who is Jeff Garland's favorite band of all time? I'll tell you what my guess was, and I couldn't have been further from the truth, Jeff. I just took a stab at it and said Chicago.
Oh,
right.
Because you're from Chicago.
And I used to look. By the way, Chicago, their first three, four albums are pretty ridiculously great, and they're
absolutely
edgy.
Phenomenal
musicians.
That's
not the answer? That's not,
that is not the answer.
Not,
all right. I'm going to go with 3-6 Mafia.
Also a very good guess. Kevin, Allie, how about you?
I'm going to go just because they're so in with the Cubs as well.
Oh. Oh, she's really playing the
game
now.
I'm going to go maybe a Pearl Jam.
Oh, dear God.
That's a nice guess. Mm.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Not a fan. Okay.
No, but they're fine.
Just not your favorite.
No, they're not even my favorite. No,
are we going to be shocked?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe The Clash.
The Clash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love The Clash. I love them so much. And I was just listening last night to at Amoeba. I got this Joe Strummer live album a couple years before he died, from a benefit that he did for firefighters in London. And it's the best album. And it's not even like, and it's a real album that some company really put out. It's not a bootleg.
Right. Yeah.
And it is the best. And Mick Jones joins him later on. I listened to it for the first time. There's not even an album cover. There's just, they put in
just a sleeve?
A plastic sleeve. They put in the flyer from the event.
Wow.
It is one of the best. And it's the vinyl. I love it. I went nuts last night. I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to this a lot.
Were you ever able to see them live?
No, that's one of the bands. I've seen most everybody live. Yeah. I mean,
you go to a lot of shows.
Well, I used to be when I was. Here's something.
Okay,
here's a little background discovery. From the time I was 17 until about 21, I was a security guard at rock concerts. At the Hollywood Sportatorium in Hollywood, Florida, which is Miami. I used to play. There were concerts at the Miami Baseball Stadium, the Orange Bowl, different places. But I was one of those guys who wore a yellow T-shirt with black letters that said security.
Way. That's awesome. You got to see so many shows.
I saw everybody.
Who did you see that just blew you away that you were expecting to hate? Was there any like that?
No, that not was really. Never like that. No, huh. nobody impressed. If I knew they stunk, they stunk.
Okay. Jeff, I had that same job in Washington, D.C. I did that for a couple of years also, where I was the Yellow Jacket and saw shows that I never in a million years would have ever gone to see.
Right, because you do see shows where you go, no. Like, I remember seeing, what's the band that's really popular from New Jersey? Bon Jovi.
Yes.
I remember seeing them open on their first tour for Van Halen.
Right.
And if you would have said, you know, by the way, you would have had to say two things to me back then. By the way, there will be a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
And this band will be like the main entrant the year they go. I would have said, what?
Yeah, no way.
No.
What were you like as a security guard? Did you yell at people? Because you got that voice. Sit down!
Well,
I could see that.
I got into an occasional fight, but I wasn't a dick. Come on, man.
Bean, how about you? Bean, did you yell at people?
No, I didn't at all.
Sit down.
I saw Menudo, though.
Oh,
Menudo. Dear God.
One of the acts that I saw was Menudo. By the way, Jeff, when I was in college, we're way off topic here, but since we're all music
fans. Wait, what topic? What topic do we have? I never want a topic.
I don't. Yeah,
then we're on.
Goldbergs are airing right now. Hold on, let me just get this out of the way. Goldbergs are on ABC.
Yes.
Wednesdays at 8.
Uh-huh.
Although last night they did like a spinoff.
Yeah. So funny.
Jim Meadows, it was so funny.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear
that. We watched it.
I didn't see
it
because I love Brian Cowan and Tim Meadows. So I know we just spent, but Wednesdays at 8, Goldbergs. And then I'm now appearing every week, every Friday night at the Improv in the little room they have
there. It's like a residency.
I do. Yes, a residency.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fridays at 9 is called You'll Probably Get Laid. And by the way, everyone said, in this time, do you want to call it that? And I only just came up with the name. I wasn't even thinking, what is this time? About what's going on? Should I be politically correct?
People are looking for too much from you. Maybe
they are. So, but anyhow,
why are you doing this? Why are you doing 5 Friday nights in a row, Mr. Garland?
Oh, I'm doing not even 5. It's indefinite.
Oh, indefinite. Okay.
The reason I'm doing it is because I'm at Flappers this weekend too. I play Largo, occasionally the Comedy Store. Point being is. in order to be a great stand-up comedian, you have to go on stage. I can't just tell people, oh, I'm on Curb, and I'm on the Goldbergs. Come see me.
That would get them out once.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, by the way. I could have one very successful tour. One tour.
But, that's
word of mouth might extend to the coming up ones.
You have a very successful beginning of the tour.
And I've been doing it 35 years, so it's what I do. It's like playing the saxophone if I'm Sonny Rollins or something. You know, man, it's like...
So even after doing it 35 years, you still have to do it more than weekly.
Have to. Wow. It's like going to the gym, man. If you're an athlete, you got to work out.
But here's my question for you, Jeff, because we've discussed your kind of comedy in the past with you.
Yes,
you go in there with a few things that you know you're going to do, but you largely improv the evening.
Yes.
Right?
And that's also a reason I'm doing a lot of stage time now. I'm trying to build a show to do off Broadway,
which will
have a lot of improv no matter what. But I'm trying to do like a 50-50 show.
Will
like
it involve a fatwa, your off Broadway show?
Very good. No, it will not involve a fatwa.
Because I would pay to see that, my friend.
Yes, I'll have to just say fatwa. No, I am. And it'll eventually be a Netflix special. So, I already know that. So, so I got to come up with some material because there are nights where I'm not funny.
When was the last time that you bombed, really bombed?
Really bombed? Okay.
Because assume you've got the go-to stuff.
Hold on. No, I don't.
You
see,
don't?
That's the joke. I live and die by the sword.
Okay.
But in terms of, now I've had shows that I wasn't pleased with.
Right, but.
Okay.
I'm talking about the audience not being pleased.
No, but the ones where I wasn't pleased, I don't think that they.
Oh, okay.
The worst, dig this. The worst feeling in the world is when the audience is good and you don't have it.
Mm.
Now, there are nights I go up and I am on fire and the audience stinks. And you know what? I'm good with that. That's their business.
Do you ever question, am I really on fire if the audience stinks?
No, I don't. Okay. I know inherently whether I got my groove going or not. And it's just, and by the way, it doesn't mean they're not having a good time. They're just not there's not energy, you know, and it hurts the show because it doesn't let me get better as it goes.
Yeah, you can't feed.
Yes, but the feeling of when I'm just not grooving. That happens rarely, but it does every once in a while. And that makes me, I just get very upset. But the last time where I really ate it was, ironically, I'm on the Goldbergs, was in Philadelphia, where I actually thought that there was some sort of TV show playing a prank on me.
They stacked the audience with the intentional death.
Wait, dig this, man. It is sold out. They are there to see me.
Oh, okay.
And they could have not found me less funny.
Oh, no.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, you're not laughing, but you're having a good time, or you're not a great audience. No, they hated me. One guy stood up and said, you suck. We hate you.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
I said to him, I go, you've talked to everybody. And everyone hates me. You went and took a survey. No. But, you know, the thing is, I've been doing this 35 years now.
Right.
You survive. And I survived. I'm fine. You know, the next night, whatever city I was, the next night was great. You know, so
that's so weird.
Yeah.
Hey, you'll probably get laid with Jeff Garland at the Hollywood Improv Friday nights at 9 o'clock. Tickets on sale improv.com.
Yeah.
Only $18, by the way, to see the great
Jeff Garland.
That's not enough.
No, it's fine. It's good. And then everything's expensive. Doesn't need to be. Look, I'm rich from TV.
Mr. Garland. We'll take a quick break. We return with our guests right after this.
And Jeff Garland is here in studio. It is 25 minutes till 8.
Yeah, he is. The Goldbergs airs Wednesday nights at 8 on ABC. You can see Jeff live and on stage at the Hollywood Improv Friday nights. Tickets on sale now, improv.com.
And by the way, because it's a small room.
He was plugging your
dick. Okay, for God's sake.
Sorry, go ahead. But it's improv.com.
And it's a small room, is what I was going to say. Only like 50 people get
55
in.
55 people. So the point being is, if it's sold out, buy for the next week or the week after. Yeah,
that's what
it sells out
fast.
But
you took it first. So,
sorry, my plug wasn't sufficient, Mr. Garland. Hey, I wanted to ask
that's
you about
sufficient.
This.
It's the best plug a Pimpella can get.
Is
I
it live
from
this.
New Orleans? Are you in New Orleans right now?
I am, sir. Yes,
it's
I'm
a great city, man.
It is a great city.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you just move there full time?
I mean, I'm here most of the time.
I know, but why keep the connection to Seattle?
Why are you asking me these personal questions, Jeff?
I don't hate it.
It's very...
Answer the question, sir.
I'll tell you the truth.
I really want to know the truth. Go, man.
My wife can't handle the summertime heat and humidity here.
Oh, great. Okay. And then the rain and the cold gets a little bit to you on the flip side.
Yeah, that didn't bother me that much. But, you know, I'm enjoying living in a city again and being able to walk to restaurants and everything.
Oh, yeah, good restaurants.
It's just,
New Orleans.
The food is amazing.
By the way, I love Seattle, too. Two great American cities.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Jeff. Yeah. I'm glad you approve of my choices.
By the way, you've made two great choices. Right? It's not like, there's some cities don't ever, you know.
This is weird, Jeff. He walked in one day to work and just said, "Hey, everybody, I'm moving."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've been doing it for 10 years, and everybody was like, "What does that mean?" He's like, "I'm moving. I hate it here. I'm going to move."
Oh, you hate it here? I love it here so much.
He hated it here just because traffic and people.
By the way, traffic and people are part of the thing here, but I couldn't love L.A. anymore. I'm from Chicago, but L.A. is my home, and I will live here for the rest of my life.
Is that right? Oh, why do you love it so much? I do, too, but... Tell me why
I don't have the pottery stores. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I've got no idea. I just love it. I love the vibe. It makes me happy. This place makes me happy.
You're living in the right place. Everybody should live in a city that they enjoy.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, the area near Venice and Fairfax is the most beautiful area.
It's Compton adjacent, though. You didn't know that.
I just love it here. I love it here. Yep.
Don't get too enamored of this building that we're in, Jeff. That's the only advice I'm going to give you.
Wow, are you guys going to move?
It's going to look different in a year.
There's some selling going on.
Of your station?
Of the land. I don't know that we're supposed to talk about this.
Okay,
they're going to sell the land.
Out from underneath you?
And then we're going to have to move into your house, if that's cool.
By the way,
and do the show
it's
from
totally
there.
Cool.
Okay, good.
Do you know how much I'd love that? Are you kidding me?
Having a radio show in the basement?
Yes. Forget the basement, the main floor.
I feel like
you walk in.
You'd love that for about a week.
Nope.
You'd get tired. I feel like you'd get tired of it.
No, by the way, I'm going to get a cut.
Okay. All right.
So
fair enough.
I'm just walking by this thing that I said would be fun, and then 2 years in, I want to die. No, I get a cut.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you this. You're rich from TV, as you mentioned.
I'm not rich. By the way, compared to most people, rich from TV. But don't forget, I work with Larry David. I've seen rich.
Okay, yes, that's a different level
and
of rich.
And by the way, he and I joke about this. You think that he doesn't go lay in a hammock in his backyard and have anxiety? The only thing he doesn't have anxiety is, how am I going to pay for my house? But all of life's anxieties. Yeah. Trump is still president in his world.
Sure.
Okay,
That's right. You can't wish them all away.
Yeah.
But here's my question I'm trying to get to, because we were having a conversation earlier about the Tesla and the autopilot and the autonomous cars, which I've been informed are two different things, the autopilot and the autonomous cars.
Yeah.
You have the autopilot in your car.
Yes, and I
use
it.
How much do you trust it, and how much does it terrify you when your hands are off the wheel?
Well, I got to tell you, I didn't use it for like the first 6 months I had the car because I was like, but then I started, you know, little bit here and there piecemealing. First, I did it where I held the steering wheel, but the car, you know, did slow and fast.
Right.
And then I trusted without the steering wheel. You have to be involved. It's not, it's not driving. You're part of the equation. You have to keep
one part.
Well, you have to keep your hands on the steering wheel, even though you're not steering.
Oh, so in other words, it's not unlike.
But it's steering for you.
To make up for its possible problems?
Yeah, well, by the way, if you don't keep your hands on the steering wheel, it'll shake, you know, and say, you know, buzz and say, get your hands on the wheel.
Oh,
you have to be engaged.
Huh.
And the car, you know, when it's the cars in front, I only use it in the left-hand lane on the highway.
Okay.
And then so the cars, as they go slow and fast in front of you, the car, you set how many car lengths you want to be behind.
Oh, does it have like a radar that keeps
that
distance?
Yeah, you can set
then?
That, yes. Huh. And so I have three car lengths that I want to, especially if I'm doing the autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly can totally see how if you're not engaged or if you're drunk like this last person was, that you could get into an accident.
Right.
But if you're engaged, I don't see how. Because it's better. It has a higher ratio of not getting an accident than you do if you're tired driving.
So it helps you a lot.
Oh, a lot. I love it.
You're describing it, Jeff, it sounds to me like, well, I can't believe I'm blanking on the thing, but what's the thing where you can set your speed and you don't have to put your foot
cruise on the control.
Gas? Cruise control.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like cruise control. You need to be kind of aware of it to make sure you're not coming up fast on something.
It's cruise control with braking and steering. Which sounds like driving.
It's a lot like driving.
But it does steer and then it does brake, whereas cruise control in your car does not brake at all.
Right.
And
okay,
does not steer. You have to be engaged. You have to. They have not invented the car yet that just drives for you.
Do you think they ever will?
Yes.
And do you want that? Do you want that to be a thing? Because we don't. I hate the idea of that.
No, on two levels, by the way, I think you'd like California more, Los Angeles, if cars were driving themselves.
Sure.
Although I think, by the way, compared to most of the country, we have some pretty good drivers here. Considering
you're insane.
You've never driven in Boston.
I was going to say Boston.
Jeff's driven in every city in America.
Worst drivers
Boston,
in the world.
New York, Chicago on weekdays or weekends. The people. Oh, it's just a big bowl. No.
I live in an area where there's a lot of old people, and they drive really slow, and they don't know that anyone else exists.
Can we just take a step back? Yeah. Where do you live?
Senior citizen community.
I do. Yeah.
You're a lying sack.
In the valley. No, in the valley.
Where in the valley? Just give me
in
a city.
Sherman Oaks.
Okay. Stop. What's the problem with Sherman
stop.
Oaks? Beverly Glen is a delight to go
now,
over.
Now, Beverly Glen, yeah, sure. But when you get out into around any of the CVS drugstores or anything, parking lots are just where people go to die. I feel like families take the worst parking lot, and you drive around until you die. And then
the worst parking lot without a garage is the CVS on the corner of Laurel Canyon and Ventura Boulevard.
Barely nudging out every other CVS.
Those are
terrible parking lots.
Yeah, Have you been to Trader Joe's?
Yeah, Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's
in Studio City.
Trader Joe's in any city in the world.
Trader Joe's in Sherman Oaks.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's out
into the road.
By the way, do you know what's really fun? I don't know if you still do this.
Tell me.
But for people who live in Los Angeles, there is nothing more gratifying than talking about traffic. We just love it. Do you know, I'll sit with the transpo department on any movie or TV show I'm working on, and I will discuss traffic, and then people want to get in on the conversation. It's the craziest thing that we love here.
It's a very LA thing,
but we love it.
Love to complain about or just talk about in general?
Well, by the way, love to complain about, but also love hearing about the shortcuts.
That's the good stuff. That's the stuff.
That was, you know.
Yeah.
And then also remembering the Thomas Guide. Memories of the Thomas Guide.
Sure.
The Thomas family, I hope they made their money.
We all had one in our car.
We all did. But that's, you know.
Before we run out of time here, and Kevin, I haven't forgotten. Jeff Garland, you can see him on the Goldbergs Wednesday night at 8 on ABC. And don't forget, you want to see him at the Hollywood Improv Lab every single Friday night, just $18, improv.com. And I love that you are working toward a Netflix special. That's fantastic news.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that, Jeff. Before we go, 60 seconds with Jeff Garland. The timer is up and running. Kevin, you want to explain to our guests?
It's just a speed round. Just say what comes to your mind. All right?
Wait, just a speed round. There's no specific rule. Just say what comes to my mind.
Yeah, it's just I'm going to fire questions at you for 60 seconds.
Okay, here we go.
Now I had to go back and start again. You ready?
Okay, here we go.
Okay. What celebrity do you get mistaken for the most?
Mike Golick.
What did you want to be as a kid?
A comedian.
What's your favorite TV show, excluding the ones you're in?
South Park.
What is something about you that people would be surprised to know?
I read a crazy amount.
Okay. Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Yes.
Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Do you like hip-hop?
Older. I'm not that into it. My kids are into it.
Is Larry David sexier in person or on the TV screen?
I'm more attracted to him on the TV screen.
What's your favorite sport?
Baseball.
Jack White or Jack Black?
I'm actually friends with both, but I will go with Jack Black because Jack Black's a comedian and I love him. I love Jack White too, but not as much as Jack Black.
Can you roller skate?
Yes.
Have you ever had to drink your own urine?
God, no.
What did you want to be as a kid? I asked you, didn't I?
Yeah.
And finally, why did you vote for President Trump?
Oh, dear God. Is that really one of the questions? Holy crap. Oh, my God.
I asked it one time, and B goes, all right, you have to put that in every single because
that's really funny.
I love watching the face of the people we asked that question of.
Yeah. Have you gotten one that was like, yeah, I did?
No, not yet. Yeah, no, but they must be out there somewhere, Jeff.
They're out there somewhere. They're just, by the way, that's why. Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
I don't want to get into politics.
I didn't either. I just wanted to throw that at you and to see your response.
I know.
Jeff, we couldn't love you more, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
By the way, the feeling is mutual. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're the best.
Is it over?
It is.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Was that the first hay of 2018, Chip?
I believe it was.
May have been, yeah.
Well placed.
She was on the IR for a while, so she wasn't in here.
That's right. I forgot, yeah. Hey, we're going to talk sports. Lots of good stuff going on, including the meltdown of the Cavaliers with our friend Jim Rome coming up just after 8. First Alley's here. What's happening?
We're leaving for the Grammy Awards today, you guys.
Yes.
It's a huge deal.
Going to New York City. How many suitcases did you whittle it down to, Allie?
I have one suitcase, and then I have one little train case that has all my liquids and stuff, so I have to pack that as well. So two checked bags.
Two check bags. Kevin, how about you?
Wow. Are you moving there?
Yep.
I have just a bag and a backpack. But it's the size that I could carry on, but if Allie's packing, you know, checking stuff, then I'm just going to check it.
Allie, I've got one carry-on and one backpack. That's it. Because Kevin and I are coming back. That's the difference.
Gross. Listen.
Plus, we don't exactly dress to impress, Pete and I.
Yeah, how much room do you need for cargo pants and shorts that you can just unzip? Seriously. Well, we're going to the Grammys. Again, 60th annual, and it's the first time it's back in New York City for 15 years, and I feel like they're doing it up bigger and better than ever before. We know about some of the artists performing: Childish Gambino, Gary Clark Jr., Miley Cyrus, Elton John, Lady Gaga, Kendrick Lamar, Bruno Mars, Sting, Sam Smith, and U2, just to name a few.
That's pretty strong.
Huge names. But now we have a list of some of the presenters. Tony Bennett, Dave Chappelle, Kelly Clarkson, Jim Gaffigan, Katie Holmes, Alicia Keys, John Legend, Trevor Noah, Sarah Silverman. Not bad.
That sounds pretty strong.
Right? And Donnie Wahlberg.
All right. So,
That's interesting.
It's always one outlier.
Yeah.
But he's a big CBS TV star, right?
And he certainly is. Yeah. He's Blue Bloods, right? Right, Dave? Blue Bloods. Dave loves Blue Bloods. Doesn't love our show. Doesn't listen to it. Guys, airport bars.
Okay.
The best.
Airport bars are the best.
Chip knows, yeah. It's the best people watching. People tend to be in a great mood because they're going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Add alcohol, even better mood. It is a blast in an airport bar. But if you're in an airport bar at a Chili's in St. Louis, kind of weird when you look over and you see rapper DMX.
Okay.
Buying shots for people and spreading the word of the Lord.
Did you? Okay. One, buying shots for people.
Lovely.
Two, spreading the word of the Lord.
Spreading the word of the Lord. He was out there. He had been in town as part of the All Stars of Hip Hop tour the night before, which, really? but somebody caught this on video, and he is straight up preaching.
I know what God is capable of doing. I know what he's capable of doing. But I won't know what he's willing to do for me until I need him to do it for me. So, you know, just because God can change the weather or make the light day dark or change everything around doesn't mean he'll do it for me. And then that's pretty much all that matters.
That's right.
What he'll do for you. Because that's the only thing that can be your testimony. What God is willing to do for you, what God has done for you. So every difficult situation, I'm like, ooh, this is just an opportunity for God to show me what he's willing to do for me.
He's going table to table at the airport bar?
He was in the video, he is holding court at
Can
the
I
bar.
Can I get you some nachos? Plus, let me tell you about the Lord.
How about a Jaeger bomb? Let me tell you who's also the bomb. G-O-D. I mean, it's just, what? How, oh.
That's awesome.
I wouldn't expect to see that.
I would not. But if Kevin does not recreate that in a few hours.
I mean, I'll do what I have to do.
I need you to.
Okay.
It's going to be wonderful.
Done.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about This Is Us from Tuesday night.
Okay.
Changed some lives.
Did it.
And also got people really, really angry at one of their appliances. What? I'll tell you what that all means coming up. Happy birthday, Alicia Keys. You're it.
That's what's happening.
Every Thursday morning, just after 8 o'clock, we check in with Jim Rome.
Yeah, we do. Host of the Jim Rome Show, jimrome.com, for 3 great hours of sports talk radio every weekday, West Coast time. And you can now watch the show on the CBS Sports Network. And don't forget, new episodes of the Jim Rome podcast every Tuesday morning. How are you, Jim?
Kevin, Allie. What's up, fam?
How are you, man?
What's up, everybody? I'm great. What's up with you guys?
Good.
Well, there's a lot of good stuff going on in sports, and I definitely do want to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame elections. I know that Kevin is rolling his eyes right now because he feels like this is a non-baseball time. But before we get to that, let's talk NBA. NBA is on everybody's mind right now, particularly what is going on with the Cavaliers. Every once in a while, you see a sports team that goes, man, that's a dysfunctional locker room. Those guys are fighting. How's it going to end? What's your take on Cleveland right now, Jim?
That is a dysfunctional basketball team. Those guys are fighting. The locker room's a mess. How is it going to end? Great take, bro. You know what? They're a disaster. They got torched for 148 by OKC at home on Saturday. They had the so-called clear the air team meeting where guys reportedly were laying into Kevin Love, accusing him of not being as sick as he said he was when he bounced from that game and skipped practice the next day. And then they went out with everybody watching them, and they got hammered by San Antonio. But all is not lost, because LeBron did get to 30,000 points, and he congratulated himself on Instagram before he did it. So we've got that going for us, which is nice.
He put up an Instagram post congratulating himself before he went out and broke the record.
How about that?
That's really bizarre.
Yeah, I say this a lot. It is really bizarre. Except it's really not bizarre for that guy, because if you follow his social game, this is what he's known for, giving himself credit. Once he worked out on the back end of back-to-backs, and he was very happy with himself.
Ah! How many of you know working out all day after a back-to-back? I died for this, dog. I live for it.
Strive for greatness out here, cuz. So it may seem like it's bizarre, but it's really not. It's pretty much who this guy is and what he does.
And that attitude, not everybody has it, but it works for him. That you have to say that whatever he's doing there, whatever he's channeling, that inner strength contributes to him being the champion that he is, right?
Yeah, I guess sort of, kind of. I don't know. Look, I mean, the guy is arguably the best ever, but that whole social thing, like, everybody's got their brand and their strategy, but, you know, I get on the air sometimes, guys, and I say things like, you know, I have not been giving myself enough credit lately, and then I'm laughing. I don't think he's laughing. I think that he really believes he's not giving himself enough credit lately, but in his defense, you better put that up on the gram before the game, because if you do it after the game where you lose, and you probably knew they were going to lose, that is the ultimate me moment, right?
Yeah.
I got mine. Really, I got mine. We lost, but I got mine. Congratulations to me. Happy birthday to me.
And one more thing before we move on, and that is the one thing we have been able to count on in the last few years is that it was going to be Cavs-Warriors in the playoffs. Is that still the case, or are the Cavs so low right now that the Warriors are looking around for a new competitor?
Yeah, the way they're currently constructed, they've got no chance whatsoever. But the thing about the Cavs, they've always been able to kind of throw the switch when it mattered at go time, and they've been able to reconstruct themselves at the trade deadlines. So there are lots of names out there. Sanchez's guy, DeAndre Jordan, George Hill, Kemba Walker, maybe Lou Williams. They need to make a deal. I just don't think that there's a deal, or maybe a series of deals, that makes them a contender, much less a team that can beat Golden State. I think that window slammed shut. It's nailed shut. It's painted shut. They've had their time. LeBron's going to bounce.
Oh! All right.
Strive for greatness out here, cuz.
Let's keep it in basketball and talk about the NBA All-Star Game. Do I have this right? The game is in L.A. with no Lakers and no Clippers. Is that right?
Broham, you got that right. Pretty sad state of affairs. The All-Star Game is in L.A., and not a single Laker or Clipper is invited, which is pretty pathetic, pretty embarrassing. But I have to say, the fact is, no Lakers or Clippers other than Lou Williams really can say that they deserve to be there. I mean, as good a year as Lou is having, he's doing it in a brutal conference. So it's sad, but none of them deserve to be there anyway.
Yes,
they
deserved.
Just don't.
It's sad and deserved, right?
Right, they don't.
So in other words, they that's how they do it in that sport. It's not like baseball where everybody gets represented.
There's always going to be somebody in every sport that thinks they should be there, like, let this guy in, let's change the vote, let the fans be a part of this. Somebody's always going to get snubbed. My thing is, I mean, who cares? Do they really, are they upset that they don't get to play, or are they upset that they're not getting invited to the game? Because if you watch those games, nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to play. They're totally unwatchable games.
Yep.
And why would I stop there? Pretty much every All-Star game is an unwatchable game. They all blow. So that should tell you how fired up I am for the NBA All-Star game being here in L.A. I'm looking for my take on it. You're not going to get it.
I hope they invite you for some of your coverage. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, well, I'm the guy you want there.
Talking to Jim Rome every week at this time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, cover your ears. We have to talk baseball for a second. Yesterday were the Hall of Fame elections. There were a few that weren't surprises. I wanted to get your take on the four that were elected yesterday.
Hey, Kevin, how do you feel about that?
Dull.
It's your favorite topic, right?
Dull.
Yeah. By the way, there's something. It's not dull because it's baseball out of season. The four guys that went in deserve to go in. What's dull is that whole, do we cheat or not cheat? Do you let the Reuters in or not in? That, to me, is such a tired debate because nobody's going to change their mind. They just recycle their points every single year.
Right.
Bonds and Clemens pick up a few percentage points, and they're making progress incrementally. But the fact of the matter is they're running out of time, and I don't think they make up the progress or make up all the ground they have to make up before they get there. So the cheaters probably do not get in.
See, and if you're asking me, I'm saying that you make roids mandatory for MLB, and then I might watch.
You think it makes
legal
the game better?
Or legal or mandatory?
Mandatory, Jim.
Mandatory, like you can't be in our game unless you cheat?
Correct.
You're tested, and if you're like not on steroids, you're out.
Yes, you're out.
You're out, right. You tested positive for not being positive. You're not high. Why don't we let them just shoot each other up in the rump in the on-deck circle?
Hey, you're right. These guys should be
shooting it right into their eyeballs. These guys should be peeking. And then guys will turn the ball around 800 feet. It'll be the best entertainment ever. You're right.
That's what I'm talking about.
We should all cheat.
It sounds like you're a no vote then on the writers, Jim. I'm going to write you down as a no.
No. I see both sides guy. Guys were doing lots of really sketchy things before roids, and they got in. There's some really bad dudes in the Hall of Fame, like felons in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
But not cheaters. And one last point about this. The guy who got in, Bud Selig, was the guy who presided over the entire Royd era. So you're going to let him in, but not Clemens and Bonds.
I could certainly argue
that point, but I could argue both points.
All right. CBS Sports Network, if you want to watch the show from 9 till noon, West Coast, it's the Jim Rome Show. You can also listen to it at jimrome.com. And the podcast is great, you guys. Great guests, long-form conversation on iTunes and Google Play. New episodes every Tuesday. Have a great week. We'll talk Super Bowl 1 week from today. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for the amazing promotion. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Did you guys feel it? Yeah. You feel it?
What's yes.
Yeah. The love?
The earthquake. Did you feel the earthquake?
What?
Did you guys feel it?
No.
This morning at 2 o'clock in the morning? Did you feel it?
Look.
Did you guys feel
look.
It?
Yeah. Look.
What did it feel like?
Was it a jolt? Was it rolling?
Was it gentle? Do we have coverage? Because
we do.
Look. I understand that earthquakes are news and that people are concerned and people care. And people, you know, in Southern California, they walk around the back of their mind fearful that that's how it's all going to end. As the earth starts shaking your house. Now, I get that people want the information. But every time there's one of these earthquakes like the one this morning. Now, granted, it was a 4, but it was deep and caused no damage and no injuries. I don't know how come there's so much coverage of something like that.
Well, I think people go to the TV to see if it's bigger than they thought or whatever, but why can't you just put on the bottom of the screen, earthquake 4.0, no aftershocks?
I feel That's also it. It's
That's
it's,
all.
It's it taps into something inside of us in the same way that when you drive on the freeway and you see a small fender bender, you still stop and look. You slow down.
You sort of
in the
to.
Same way that like you're expecting one out of those 10 accidents is going to be the fiery crash that I'm hoping for.
Right. But so here's my question to you. Do we need television stations to interview people who drove past the accident to describe what that was like to you? Do we need that?
No.
That's a fantastic analogy, Kevin,
right.
Because that's what the news does with Kevin, the earthquakes
people.
Yeah,
I don't even know how that
happened.
Wow. It's amazing.
Channel 7 was really on fire today. Channel 7 handled this earthquake at 2:09 a.m., and they were really getting the hard-hitting interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I have about 2 minutes. It feels like 5 because the guy asked the exact same questions of everybody, and it's fantastic.
It wasn't like a wave. It shook. Like, it shook. And then I felt an aftershock. At least I think I did.
I think just because we haven't had any, it just kind of shook me a little bit. And then
right,
it's like...
Stop right there.
That's all being contained.
Why do we need these people telling us what the earthquake was like for them?
Because they felt it, Bean.
But the news is just that there was an earthquake. Why do we care what it felt like for this lady?
All right, let me continue because I think they'll turn you around.
Before you continue, shouldn't we be taking calls from our listeners to tell us how it felt to them?
I mean, yeah, we could do that because they probably had a different experience than Channel 7 had. So if people want to call in and describe what happened at 209 this morning, feel free.
Yeah.
At 1-800-520-1067.
We want to hear about it.
All right, here we go. Back to Channel 7.
And I worried about that. I was like, okay, when's the big one coming?
Morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. You got a little wake-up call, huh?
Yeah, about 2:09, I felt a little jolt, you know, and woke up. You know, it was not that, you know, strong, but, you know, I felt it, yes.
Okay, they felt it in Glendale? Mm-hmm.
At that point, honestly, at that point when he says, I felt it, but it was nothing, uh-huh. You're done with your news
report.
You're out,
yeah.
That's it.
Should mm-hmm. be.
Back to you in the studio. Nope.
No big deal.
No.
You went right back to sleep?
Yes.
And right. Here you are.
Yeah, going back to work, yeah.
That's crazy.
All right, he felt it, but come on over here and talk to his friend over here. This gentleman, what's your name?
Okay, now I'd just like to point out that this reporter knows what the next guy is going to say. Uh-huh. So he said, he felt it, but let's go and talk to his friend. So he knows what's coming when he asks the question.
Counterpoint.
And did you feel it?
Actually, no. I was sleeping good. No problem at all.
Now we're asking a guy who didn't feel it.
Yeah.
If he felt it. And he knew he didn't feel it before he went and asked him that.
You slept right through it.
That's right, yeah.
I think a lot of people did.
Actually, you know, when it's light, it's not a problem. It's but I felt some before. It's where you can actually feel them. Just you get used to it, go back to sleep.
Yes, go on.
No problem.
Exactly. What'd you feel?
I felt a shake earlier today. So, you know, I haven't experienced too many earthquakes. I'm originally from Colorado, but I've been here in California for quite a bit. So,
tell us more about that.
Wake you up?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. I felt the bed shaking. So,
is wake you up the best question ever?
Went back to sleep after that or not?
I went back to sleep because it didn't go for a long time, but it woke me up, though, definitely.
Right.
How long does spoke this to folks go? In Irvine.
What, Bean? How long does this go on?
Oh, we're almost halfway through.
You don't understand, though, Kevin. We have late-breaking news.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
We can get back to your tape, but first, how about Cindy? She is calling in from Brea. She's on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Firsthand, one of our listeners' experience of the earthquake this morning. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning.
We are breathlessly waiting to find out how this earthquake 2018 affected you.
Hold on, Cindy. We're trying to build this up to be big. So there was a 4.0 and it affected no one. What was your experience?
Well, I was in bed, and then I didn't hear anything or feel anything, and I slept right through it.
Okay, tell us more. Tell us more. Go on.
And it was uneventful, but I woke up and all kinds of people were freaking out, but not me.
Right.
I slept
right
through it.
Uh-huh. And have you ever slept through one before?
I don't know.
What size is your bed,
maybe.
Cindy?
Were you dreaming? Were you dreaming at the time?
I was just dead out.
Okay.
Do you ever use a silk pillow? They say it's better for wrinkles.
No,
Allie has a lot of news experience.
Do you feel like Ambien affected you?
No.
Okay. What do you think of the pill crisis?
It was the 420.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy. Back to Channel 7.
We spoke to folks in Irvine. Here's what they had to say. Did it wake you up?
Yes, I did. It did wake me up. Yeah.
So then what? You went right back to sleep or what?
Yeah, it's just a little bit and not very shaky, so I don't worry about that.
Did you feel it?
Which one? Last night?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was one.
2:09 a.m.
2:09 a.m. Nope, did not even feel it. No, I'm a sound sleeper.
There was a quake. Did you feel it? You did not feel it at all.
There was a quake, sir. How about you? Did you feel it?
I feel like this is Eric Spillman on Channel 5.
It's Channel 7.
Are you positive?
Omar told me this is KABC, so that's what I think it was.
Okay. But if it is Eric Spillman, he is effing with every single one of these people.
Is he?
Absolutely.
So he's in on the joke of how stupid these are?
100%.
Okay. Also, if you have to open up with, there was a quake.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no story.
Already, you're out.
Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt.
And now, a breaking news.
We have Fernando on the scene in Ontario. Fernando, earthquake 2018 coverage here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Please tell us, what did you feel, see, or hear?
Okay, as far as feeling something, last night my girlfriend was over and bed was already shaking, okay? But what happened was...
Fernando, you ruined the whole bit. You're supposed to be completely dull and boring and not have a story.
No. I gotta,
you were funny and entertaining.
I can't get into that part. You know?
I got you.
But anyway, so And I heard somebody like knocking, and what it was, we have a...
I'm sorry, hold on, please. Hold on, please. We got to go to another call. We've got Leo and Rosemead. Good morning, Leo.
Yes, guys, I didn't feel it, you know?
Uh-huh.
I heard about it, but there's this thing called this shit called the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yes.
It happened before I was born.
Right? And what did you think of that?
You know, I heard about it. I think it happened. Okay. It happened. Somebody died. And this earthquake, I didn't feel it.
You didn't feel it.
I heard about it.
You heard about it.
Heard
okay.
about it.
And I also
okay.
heard about this Fitzgerald, man. It's important. It's got to be covered, man.
Okay. Right. All right.
We'll get right to that. Thank you.
I feel like we've wrung every last ounce of coverage out of that.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, Allie.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Give her a chance.
What is happening? Right. Allie, what is happening?
Sounds like your public is needing to know, Allie.
Sir, I get it. But first, let me give something away.
Okay.
If you'd like to laugh, and who doesn't want to laugh? And be in the company of Felipe Esparza. I mean, he'll be on the stage telling the jokes.
Right.
I want to give you a pair of tickets to see Felipe Esparza at the Novo on March 23rd.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
You know what? I've got two pairs of tickets, so let's...
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
Let's give it to callers
20... 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Callers 20 and 21. At 1-800-520-1067. In case you didn't get that, you're going to go see Felipe Esparza at the Novo. Love him.
Call now.
Okay. If you want. If you didn't watch Tuesday's This Is Us, maybe just turn away for a minute. And don't use your ear holes.
Okay, don't use your ear holes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So the show's latest episode revealed... what we think is what killed Jack, the dad, Milo Ventimiglia's character. Mm-hmm. We knew there was a big fire. That was in episodes way long ago.
He is a dick.
He is not a dick. He's a wonderful family man.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
We don't want to do that at all. He's a wonderful character.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
He might have been. That's how much I love him. But what it turned out to be is a faulty crock pot. You know what crock pots are.
Sure.
Put the food in, you leave, whatever.
Well,
it's cooking the whole time.
This was the Instant Pot of the 1970s.
Essentially, yes. Doesn't he always call people Bubba? He doesn't. But great question, lady. That's the end of the show. You see the crock pot. He turned it off. Then you see it switched back to on. It had a faulty plug. That was also in the show as
so
well.
So it was magic?
No, it had a faulty switch.
Okay.
He is a cowardly, degenerate sack of anti-human trash.
He is none of those things.
He is the founder of ISIS.
God. Jack Pearson is the father of these wonderful children, and he's the husband of Mandy Moore's character. He's wonderful, but we know he's dead. We just don't know exactly how he died. So then they show that flip, then they show the fire. And then, of course, they aren't on this next week. They're on right after the Super Bowl, so people are losing their minds.
He is on fire.
Exactly. It turns out, I believe that will be true. But what happened was people went to Twitter losing their minds, saying, I'm throwing out my crock pot.
Really?
What's going on? People were like, that's it. If it could kill Jack Pearson, it's not safe. So much so that the creator of the show had to remind everyone, quote, it's a fictional crock pot with an already funky switch, and then urged everyone to, quote, not lump all those lovely, hardworking crock pots together. But here's what I love.
People?
Crock pot got into it, and they wound up tweeting, Jack Pearson was our Valentine, so we equally understand your pain with his loss. And then reassured everyone, quote, we've been generationally tested by your family and friends. Like, everything's safe,
hey,
you guys.
Hey, everyone, take it easy.
Calm the F down. But the fact that people were losing it, throwing out their crock pots.
Are those the same people that are eating Tide Pods?
I hope so.
Okay.
I hope so.
It's funny because he is fat.
He is not at all. And even if he was, I mean, kid, shut up.
I don't even think he's a doctor.
He is not a doctor. He's
that's right.
He's actually doing construction. Elton John has announced his retirement from touring, but not effective immediately. Nope, he's going out on a 3-year, 300-gig farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. It's going to begin this September and end sometime in 2021.
Holy crap.
I mean, that's commitment. Being like, listen, I am done after this, but you got 3 years of me before that happens.
But then seriously.
But then
over.
Seriously. And I feel like Elton John's one of those people that is going to be true to it. Plus, by the time the tour finishes, he's 74. His kids are going to be 10 and 8. He's going to be done.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
And I mean, he was right. Right?
I mean, that was it.
He's with me. Snoop Dogg has found Jesus. His new album, The Bible of Love, is all gospel music. No release date yet. But if you want to check it out, BET is going to be airing a 1-hour special taped at the event Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. Happens on February 1st in Minneapolis, if you're out there.
Hmm.
Bizarre. Just bizarre. I don't know if you saw Aaron Paul on Jimmy Kimmel, but he is a soon-to-be dad welcoming his first child. So Jimmy gave him what I thought was great advice. He said, never use the words relax or breathe while she's giving birth, which I think that is solid advice, even when she's not pregnant.
Correct.
Don't tell a woman to relax.
Don't tell anyone to relax. It does the opposite.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We can tell a woman to smile, though, right?
No, Bean.
No, that's also
no.
Okay.
You know what? That might be a good thing for Bean to do in New York City. Just walk around telling New York women to smile.
You know what? Smile.
And see what the reaction is.
I like
really
it.
Test that out. Wouldn't that be funny? I like it. Let's get out of here. We've got a lot to do. You guys, happy birthday, Alicia Keys. She does that song about New York. Now you're in New York. Concrete jungle where dreams are made. There's nothing
sure
you
does.
Can't do. That's what's happening.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and on Thursday mornings, we talk to our good friend, Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew, how are you, sir?
I'm great, guys. What's going on?
Well, before we get into the topic, we do have some business we need to take care of, because we always take a look at what you've got going on in the podcast world over there at drdrew.com, and we see the OG Dr. Drew podcast. You've got a guest named Diane Valentine. The weekly infusion podcast this week, you're talking about hair loss solutions. Very interesting. And then the title of your show with Mr. Carolla is Don't Be Overcome by Your Boners.
Well, I mean, don't.
What's going on that show with you and Adam, Drew?
It's the same old, same old. I think he had, what did he call it? Oh my God, I can't say it on the radio. Let's say he invented a new syndrome that he thought all these guys that are committing these horrific acts against women, and he calls it the restless sea syndrome. It's out of control. It moves without, it's the restless season.
Understood, yes. So that's Adam's advice, is don't be overcome by your boners. That's something to
that's
live
Adam's
by.
That's Adam's advice, and
okay.
I think it's pretty solid.
So now we know. All right, let's turn our attention to a serious topic. We all, Allie, you reported this to us in What's Happening. You saw it over the weekend that the family of Tom Petty had made an announcement that was, no pun intended, heartbreaking, right?
Just so sad. They wound up getting the toxicology report back, and it was an accidental drug overdose. He was trying to manage a ton of pain between a hip that was fractured that he did over 53 dates with.
Allie,
yeah.
Respectfully, you have taken the Kool-Aid. This is how drug addicts die today.
Oh.
In my world, in the last 10 years, 100%, absent one case, 100% of my patients die this way. They leave recovery. They complain of pain to a doctor. He or she puts them on opiates. They escalate. Then they put them on a benzo, and then that combo kills them.
But when you say she's drinking the Kool-Aid, you say Tom Petty wasn't in pain?
No, I'm saying that the way they're spinning it is, you're sort of like, hey, he died for rock and roll, man. He had to get out on the road, his hip pain. No, he should never, ever have been on opioids. And there are doctors defending this. It is, if you wonder why the opioid epidemic continues, this is a prime example. No one is learning. Literally, there are doctors out there now defending the way Tom Petty was managed, saying things like, it's not really clear that drugs cause addiction. Addiction really doesn't really exist. If properly managed, this would have been fine. Like, no, no, this is how all of my patients die. Why can't you people learn this? Please, for God's sakes. It breaks my heart.
Then how does it go from a simple managing of pain to the full-blown addiction? At what point does the pain just stop, or does it?
Well, here's the combination. He's a heroin addict, so any exposure to opioids will reactivate that disease. That's something that has to be understood, number one. Number two, there is zero evidence that opioids make chronic pain better. In fact, in the setting of a heroin addict, it makes it worse. It intensifies the pain. They need more over time. Then they start getting side effects from the opiates. They can't sleep. They're anxious. They're in withdrawal. That's when they add the Xanax and the Ambien, and that's when they die. So there's a lack of understanding of what heroin addiction is and what opiates do to heroin addicts. There's a lack of understanding or lack of willingness to accept that there's no science for the use of opioids in chronic pain, and there's deep lack of understanding of how it escalates in addiction and the deadly combination with the Xanax. 96% of opioid prescription deaths include the co-prescribing of a benzodiazepine. When are we going to learn?
Wait, so you're saying that doctors who prescribe those don't understand that they mix and kill people?
They seem, if they understand it, they somehow believe somehow it can be controlled if they're in the management seat. But yet, all of my patients die that way, and it breaks my heart. It kills me.
I can tell you,
Mike Starr, we had him sober for a year. He suddenly moved. He called me after he was living in a sober living. And a month in, he goes, I'm having back pain. I said, Mike, whatever you do, please don't tell a doctor. Please don't. Weeks later, dead combination of benzodiazepine and opiate pills at his bedside, one doctor prescribing. Not that they're going to multiple doctors.
So last question then would be, bring it home for our listeners who are in pain and use opiates because they think they will help their pain. What should they be doing instead?
Well, it depends on the setting. I'm not saying it can. Look, an old lady that takes 3 Vicodin a day and it helps her, please, dear God, stay on your Vicodin. But if you're a heroin addict and you get low back pain, do not take an opiate. Do not do it. It will lead to your demise, and it will not help the pain. There are other things out there. So there has to be a sophistication in how we treat it in these different settings. And really, there shouldn't be an expectation that if somebody has chronic recurrent pain, that an opiate is going to be a good medicine at all. Really bad news if you're an opiate addict.
Explain how an opiate, which is a painkiller, won't help pain.
It intensifies over time in most situations. And again, there are multiple positions, many publications out there that conclude opiates not useful for chronic pain because, A, it causes something called hyperalgesia. The more you use it, the more intense the pain feels, so the more you need to take. So you have escalating pain. Certain individuals will also get a misfiring of a part of the brain called the insular cortex, which is the part of the brain that causes the emotional component of pain, the so-called misery part of pain. And that part goes off the wall under the influence of chronic opiates. So there's no evidence that that's going to help you. So you shouldn't be expecting it to, and you shouldn't be on it for long periods of time.
Dr. Drew is dropping some truth here, but he's also a little bit of a bummer. Wouldn't you guys agree?
I don't think so, no. Not in this case.
DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all the great podcasts and live appearances. Don't forget you can have a doctor in the comfort of your own home just by downloading the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play. And look for Dr. Drew middays on KABC from noon till 3. Thanks for coming on and clearing this up for us, Doc. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
And before we get out of here, I think we have time for one more look at what's happening, Allie.
Remember yesterday when we talked about 50 Cent being an early adopter of Bitcoin?
Yes.
He had people buy his album, Animal Ambition, using Bitcoin. And back then, it was only worth $662. Now, in total, he pulled over $400,000 on that sale alone.
Right.
And then he sat on it. Was like, nope, not going to touch it. And then we found out yesterday, sitting untouched, his earnings are now worth $7 to $8.5 million.
Wow.
Right? And we were talking about that business mind and how amazing he has done throughout his life with different career choices, different paths he's taken.
He's got water
he's
and
got
a whole bunch
water,
of
products. He's got TV shows. He's got everything.
Now, what most people are lucky to make a fortune in one industry. He makes it in everything he touches.
Right. So he confirmed the new windfall on Instagram yesterday saying, quote, "Not bad for a kid from the South Side. I'm so proud of me." but this is the part that made me laugh so hard. His next quote, "I'm gonna keep it real. I forgot I did that beep. LOL." He hadn't touched his account. He had no idea he still had it.
He Forrest Gumped his way into $8 million.
He sure did.
That's awesome.
That's
but he's
magic.
So rich that he could have $8 million extra dollars lying around that he doesn't know about.
What's that?
It doesn't matter to him.
Wait, what? Oh yeah, Bitcoin. Oh, I have $8
million? Okay. Oh, sure.
Let
me try and remember my password. Logs in. That's unreal to me.
But I mean, but this is very similar to the money that I put down on Twitter when it went public and I put it in my E-Trade account and I just sit there and just let it just build, like just turn into a mountain of gold.
Well, what did you buy it at? What was the price?
I think I got it for around 40. I think it was 40, a little over 40 maybe.
And now that you've sat on it and it's
I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure it's in the hundreds by now. Right. And I'm sure I'm a multimillionaire many times over. Mm-hmm. Just to bring it up.
Just look that up and see, because if you're worth that much.
Oh, it's at $22.51 right now.
Oh, so kind of the opposite.
So you've lost half of your money.
I guess I'm no 50 cent.
Okay. Oh.
I'm not even 25 cents.
Oh, that's sad. I'm going to keep it real. That is funny.
That is very funny.
Oh, that brought me so much joy when I read that. Hey, if you're going to see Jack White on his new tour, don't even think about grabbing some video. Don't even think about shooting a little selfie while he's up on stage, because your phone's going to be locked.
I was going to hold my phone up in front of my face, though, so the people behind me couldn't see Jack on the stage.
I hope you would not only hold a phone, but maybe an iPad.
Sure.
Have you seen those people?
Yeah. Oh,
good
Lord.
Well, no photos, video, or audio recordings allowed. Quote,
I feel like this is the direction everyone seems to be going.
Yeah.
If the venue is small enough, I think artists will prefer to be able to look out in the crowd and see eyes rather than phones.
Yeah. The statement says, "We think you'll enjoy looking up from your gadgets for a little while and experience music and our shared love of it in person." All caps. So, yeah, they want you to put down those phones and enjoy the moment. Now, your phone is going to be locked away in one of those yonder pouches. And people were like, "Oh, my God, that's not fair. I can't have access to my phone." All you have to do is walk out into the lobby or concourse, and they have little stations set up.
Mm-hmm.
You unlock it right there if you have to check in with your babysitter, if you're a doctor on call, which you shouldn't probably be on call without access to your phone.
Right.
But
drug
you can
dealer.
A drug dealer,
uh-huh.
Great point.
Right.
You can unlock your phone and check it right there.
How will I get access to grainy, terrible-sounding audio and video of the show to post on my social media, though?
Yeah, I don't think you will. It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
Why even go?
Why go, then?
Why even go if you can't rewatch that over and over? Never.
In terrible quality.
The worst, right? Well, fans of Big Little Lies got an extremely good announcement yesterday. Meryl Streep is joining the second season of Big Little Lies. She's going to play the mother of the very abusive Perry Wright, who was played by Alexander Skarsgård. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it or read the book, he dies.
Mm.
So she comes back to the town and wants to kind of look over the grandchildren. And I can imagine, just because Alexander Skarsgård's character was such an evil, manipulative dick.
He was wound pretty tight.
Where did he get that from?
That she is gonna be incredible. Sources say that season 2 has been greenlit for 7 episodes. So it's a whole lot of Mel. Mel?
I heard Meryl Streep's overrated.
I call her Mel.
What, Bean?
I heard Meryl Streep is overrated as an actress. That's what I heard.
Our president did say that.
He did say that. She's been nominated for 21 Oscars, you guys.
Overrated. It's ridiculous.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
We have heard that. We have heard that. Hey, Charles Manson, he died back in November, but his remains still causing havoc in the courts because 3 different people are trying to claim his body.
Why?
One says he has his will. Okay. Another claims to be his son. And another swears he's his grandson. But Charles Manson had told prison officials that he has no family, so a judge is going to have to make the final ruling. But what do you want his body?
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
Oof.
That's weird.
Right?
I mean, I don't see how you would make money off of it.
Unless... Never mind.
If that's what they're trying to do.
Unless...
Like, you got him cremated and sold, like, the ashes in, like, a necklace or something.
Oh,
that's why I didn't say it, because that's so weird. And who would want to do that? Who would even think of that?
Unfortunately, I believe there are people that would do that.
I think Allie is one of them.
Yeah.
Why was that my first
thought? Allie's the leader of those people.
Wow.
Good Lord. Hey, happy birthday, Alicia Keys. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, on your drive home tomorrow morning. Friday morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We will be live from New York City for... the Grammys. We're going to talk to Harry Hansen, who is in charge of a place in New York called Hansen Fitness, where they have naked exercise classes.
And are you sure his name is really Harry Hansen?
I believe he runs
a naked workout place. Come on.
And I believe that Muggs will be working out naked as well. We also have Jack Antonoff in studio in New York City.
No kidding. Yeah. He is one of the go-to songwriter and producers in the world today. He works with everybody. That's fantastic.
Talking about the Grammy Awards, it's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100 and more live from New York City tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.